You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kratlow.
I've been steady learning long, keeping this turntable spinning. Everything from John.
We are going to have ourselves one pleasant day for at least the first chunk of the day, a little bit warmer than yesterday. There's a chance of thunderstorms the farther north you go, generally speaking, with low 80s today, high 80s tomorrow, and then we're going to have a quiet Thursday and Friday with the mid 80s, which is just the way I like it because I have dropped the top on the Jeep Wrangler, and I do not want to put that top on until I absolutely have to. Rebecca Cook is our guest, one of four Democratic candidates running in the 3rd Congressional District primary, going up against presumptive Republican nominee Derek Van Orden. We'll talk about him in a bit in the race for Congress in this area. Before the break, Rebecca, we were talking about gun safety and really what you're telling people, because you have to overcome, you know, political misinformation and myths. And we had to interrupt before we went to the break. So tell us more about how those discussions are going, because it is something that, you know, we often hear about single issue voters, and there are more than one or two single issue gun voters out there.
Right, for sure. Well, and I was mentioning, you know, I'd had a conversation at a union meeting where somebody had asked, you know, if I was going to take their guns. And as I'd mentioned, I want everybody to be as responsible a gun owner as that person was, right? And we both agreed that universal background checks are something that we both believe in, right? You know, and the other pieces that are really important to me are enforcing red flag laws, you know, which put a red flag up when somebody is, you know, that a family or a spouse can put a red flag up when somebody is going through a mental health crisis and might be of harm to themselves or others. Or if somebody is a domestic abuser, that puts a flag up. So those folks can't, you know, purchase firearms to harm other people. The other thing is closing the Charleston loophole, which, you know, expedites the time in which somebody can get a firearm that doesn't go through all the proper background checks that are important. And so, you know, those are things that to me are very pragmatic and common sense, and that I think really gun owners are also supportive of. And I'm not afraid to have those conversations in very red parts of the district with gun owners, with anybody. Those are things that I'm not really compromising on, but I think that when you have those real conversations, there is actually a lot more common ground than I think what some of the fear mongering that's in a lot of the media and that, you know, kind of perpetuates where people have real good, and the Republican Party perpetuates as well. But
the fact of the matter is, if you do an independent survey of NRA members, they will be in favor of a lot of these common sense measures, because gun owners and hunters don't want their kids killed in school either.
Yeah.
Let's switch over to natural resources. A recent U.S. Supreme Court decision really threatens the entire regulatory framework of how we care for our natural resources, and frankly, by extension, how we care for consumers, how we care for workers. We're an unusual country in that we delegate or assign a lot of power to the states. And what happens is, if you don't have national standards, you then end up with a checkerboard. And that's what we're getting with abortion rights now, is a checkerboard of 50 states. And that's the way some people want it. Others would like to see national standards for things, not the least of which is, you know, things like pollution. You know, you can't control the air, you know, at state borders. It's something that there's a reason we need an EPA. There's a reason that we signed on to international accords. And yet, that these moves, Rebecca, often get denigrated as being expensive to implement, or they don't do any good unless other countries are participating. So when you talk about a changing climate and the need for natural resources protection, what are your priorities there?
Yeah, well, I will tell you from the 19 county district tour that I did, surprisingly, one of the biggest issues, I guess surprisingly to me, especially in rural communities, one of the biggest things that came up was climate change and the environment. People are really concerned whether, you know, you're in Adams Friendship or you're in La Crosse. I thought I'd hear more about that from environmental activists right in La Crosse, but all throughout the 3rd Congressional District, people are concerned about that and what kind of future we're going to be leaving for our children and grandchildren. And so when I think about the environment, I think about, you know, like how I think about politics and that it's all local, right? And in this district in particular, we have a lot of water quality issues. And so, you know, we have PFAS in our well waters here in Eau Claire, in La Crosse and French Island. They're getting water shipped into them because they can't drink it. And, you know, I think there's something that's, as you mentioned, has been brought up through the state legislature, the CLEAR Act that calls for more research into PFAS, more testing, and then remediation. But that's at the state level. There's nothing like that really exists from an EPA perspective. And so I'd like to see something similarly come up through on the federal side that sets a standard nationally for that, so that we're able to control that issue here in this district. Additionally, you know, we've got a lot of issues with water runoff. And I think that with farms and what that does to our streams and waterways, algae blooms, and how that can contaminate what is one of the most beautiful, you know, waterways of our whole the Driftless region. It's very much a place where lots of folks like to canoe and hike, and that really impacts our economy if we're not protecting those waterways from farm runoff. And I think that it calls for somebody that is going to do coalition building that's not just with the Wisconsin DNR or UW Extension, but also brings farmers to the table who are truly stewards to the land and figuring out those solutions to move forward.
We, by and large, focus on domestic issues as close to home as possible. That seems only natural, but we really can't lose sight of the fact that we need members of Congress who are going to pay attention to foreign policy and things that are going to be very important to the country. We have we're monitoring a Russian invasion of Ukraine. We just took out Al-Qaeda's leader after many years of searching. There's always ongoing, you know, trade tensions with China that at any point could become military tensions, and even something like Brexit and, you know, trade agreements with Europe and with other allies can sometimes become contentious. So I know these things don't come up as often, but they are extremely vital. And I wonder how you talk about your own priorities on these or any other subjects that go beyond our borders that you feel Congress needs to be focused on.
Sure. Well, you know, I think throughout this campaign, you know, the foreign policy issue that's come up probably the most because of its timeliness, you know, throughout the time that I've been running this campaign, is the war in Ukraine. And, you know, I have been very supportive of, you know, this kind of sanctions first approach that our country has taken. I don't want to push for, you know, increased military action when it comes to supporting Ukraine. I don't want us to get involved in another war. And so, you know, I'm very much of a sanctions first kind of approach and the way that the Biden administration has been handling this currently. So, and that's, I mean, really, that's the conflict that I think that gets brought up at doors or gets brought up in conversations with people. I think particularly in this district, that's just what's most top of mind for people right now.
I would imagine that immigration is one of those as well, simply because Republicans and especially Wisconsin Republicans do a very focused job of demonizing people from Central America who are, you know, fleeing and seeking a better life. And we have Wisconsin Republicans who seem to somehow think our southern border is not with Illinois, but is, you know, somewhere in Texas. So as a result, you have this denigration of immigration, even at a time when, especially in a farm economy, we need legal immigration. We need immigration reform more than ever. Do people get that when you talk about that, or do you still see a hurdle to climb when it comes to talking about immigration and what realistically it involves for Wisconsin?
I think people do get that. I think farmers in particular, too, want to see a pathway to citizenship for their workers that are coming, you know, back and forth. They want to see a pathway to citizenship. And I think, you know, thus far, it's only been patchwork policies. We need comprehensive immigration reform so folks that are living in the shadows can be parts of our, you know, big parts of our community legally, right? And so, but I think the approach thus far has just been a lot of partisan bickering, but I really do feel that a lot of folks within this district, this is something that they want. This is a big part of our working population, and they want to see those folks have the benefits that they deserve, and to be able to come out of the shadows and live full lives here in West Central Wisconsin.
Well, it doesn't hurt at all that they're fleeing places that, you know, frankly, have not been democracies. And now we face similar threats here. So turning our attention to, you know, the insurrection, you know, people lying about the 2020 election results. Let's be fair, election security should always be something that's top of mind. You should always be working on it. So what are those conversations like? Do you still find a lot of skeptics and doubters about 2020? And how do you approach that and frame it with a likely Republican opponent who is feeding into that narrative?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of faith in our election workers and our county clerks to be executing our elections in a fair and safe way. I don't come across a lot of that in the conversations that I've had, you know, particularly being in a Democratic primary right now. I have been in a lot of red communities. I think mostly people want opportunities to be able to vote easier. Right. I think that's something that I've heard a lot from folks in being able to, you know, submit their ballots. I mean, we saw the drop boxes being taken away. I think that's harmful to take away opportunities for people to participate in our democracy.
And yet, if you emerge from this primary, you're going to be facing Derek Van Orden on a stage, on a debate stage someplace. And what kind of message are you going to deliver to him directly when the topic comes up about his presence on the Capitol grounds January 6th and about you know, defending democracy overall?
Yeah, I think that him being on the Capitol grounds was, in my opinion, very un-American. When the folks that were a part of that riot in D.C., their focus was to kill senators. You know, and I think, you know, I think to me, we need somebody that's going to provide stability and security in this region and not be stirring doubt in voters and stirring more chaos within both this region and this country, but that's actually going to drill down to get things done for working families.
So getting things done is where we're going to wrap up our visit here, and talk to me about where you think you can bring people together as a member of Congress. And at the same time, what's at stake if there should be a Republican takeover of the House and possibly the Senate as well? You know, if you're part of, say, let's say you win and yet the House goes Republican, you know, people are going to look to see where you can come together. So let's wrap up by talking about how what kind of a congresswoman you would be.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be a congresswoman that really fights for everyday Wisconsinites, right? I'm, like I mentioned before, a working class candidate. I grew up working class, and I'm going to bring those common sense values with me to DC. I plan to run a very constituent centered office that, you know, even being one of 400 and some in Washington, you know, you don't, and especially if I was in the minority, there's not an opportunity necessarily to pass things, but running a constituent-centered office, I think is really important. There's a lot of things that you can do with the congressional budget here at home. Having a chief of staff based in district that's hyper-focused on the issues that everyday folks care about. And so, you know, taking on, as we talked out throughout this segment, a lot of the issues that are important to me, taking on corporations that are price gouging consumers, working to lower inflation, right? From a healthcare perspective, lowering costs both for our seniors and working families, and working to protect our environment that I think is so vital to both our economy and our future.
Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress in the 3rd District as part of the Democratic primary next Tuesday, August 9th. Rebecca, it was a real pleasure. Thank you for visiting with us.
Thanks so much, Pat.
Tomorrow on the program, we will have Robert Craig of Citizen Action Wisconsin in our 8 o'clock hour, Kirk Bangsted and Kristen Lyerly at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and the Mark Newman, candidate for Congress, in Thursday's 9 o'clock hour, Brad Paff, candidate for Congress, in our next hour. And we will continue our conversation here after the break with more. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Quitelow. Either gonna get old, you
having a record year.